Yeah, it's all yours, bro. Preach what the Lord has given you.
Thank you for being here, bro.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Before I start, Lacey and Silas could come up here. We enjoy playing music. Cassandra has pushed them diligently in music, and so at this phase of their life, we like to challenge them once in a while. It's how everyone learns to grow a little bit more, right? So what I would like to do is, does anyone have a favorite hymn that you might like to hear played with a cello and a violin? Yes, go ahead.
As the Deer.
As the Deer. Okay. So you're welcome to shout out more hymns. They're probably not going to do all of them, but they're going to pick two, and then they're going to arrange and put them together. Yes, go ahead. Day by day. Okay, as the Deer, day by day. Yes, in the back.
My Father's World.
My Father's World. Okay. Come now, Father. All right. So that's a pretty, there's four of them. Do you know those, or? Come Thou Fount was sort of in the one they did earlier. Day by day. Okay. Right. If they don't know it, that limits it. What was the first one? As the Deer. And then there was one over here. My Father's World. You know those? Okay. You got something? Okay. This is good for them. So.
Wonderful. Amen. You guys don't want to hear me now. We're going to be in the book of 2 John and 3 John, the epistles. So at the back of the Bible, we want to thank you for having us out here today, and thank you for the potluck. That was wonderful. The cookies were great. What else? There was some apple, what was that? Apple pie kind of cake thing. That was great. The food was great. Yeah, it was a blessing. And just again, thanks for being faithful to the Lord. Amen. Thanks for being here this afternoon. Such a blessing. So 2 John, 2 Epistle of John, and then also 3 John. And we'll read just one verse from both of these. And both of these chapters, it is verse number 4. So 2 John and verse number 4 says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as I have received a commandment from the Father. And then verse number 4 of the next book, that's great, huh? One little chapter, another little chapter here on the same page in your Bible. It is on mine anyhow, but verse number 4 of 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. There's no greater joy. My grandmother, I know that she prayed for me. I was living life for myself. I was a selfish teenager, and I grew up to be a selfish sailor. I was in the Coast Guard, and my grandparents prayed for me every single day. I know they did. And my grandfather told me, you need to find a good Baptist church. And that's how he talked, too, like, big guy, burly guy, you need to find a good Baptist church, and you need to start going. And so I found a church, but I was still selfish, and I was lost, so I would go once in a while. And then I heard that they were going to be having a revival meeting, and there was something inside me was telling me, you need to go to that. And so I committed to go to the revival meeting, and it was during that time that God pricked my heart. And I knew I was lost, and I went forward, and I got saved, and been trying to be faithful and living for the Lord ever since then. And it's such a blessing. And I believe this, that God, He looks down on us, and He says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that God the Father looking down on you guys here today, just being faithful to Him, and it brings Him such joy. And it brings me joy. To know that my kids walk in truth when they're doing well and they're doing right and they're faithful to God. And I know that it's done the same for you here in this room, and it's there's nothing more that a mom or dad would want, right, than to just at the end of their life to say, man, my kids have done well. And it just brings such joy to my face and to the smile and to my heart, and it's just a great thing. But the first one we looked at, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you speak to us this afternoon, Lord. I'm thankful for this church, and I pray that you'd bless them, God. I pray that you would add to the membership. I pray that people would be saved here. Lord, maybe one day the neighbors will be saved, and fence lines won't be an issue anymore, because the Spirit of God will be living in people. And God, I just pray that you'd bring families into this church, and God, that they would all grow together, and that they would be serving you and faithful to you. And God, we ask that you'd bless Centralia Bible Baptist Church, Lord. And just I pray that you'd allow me to be a help to them this afternoon, Lord. We do love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so as we have received a commandment from the Father, so let's go to Deuteronomy this afternoon. Deuteronomy and chapter number 5. We're in the back of the Bible. Now we're going all the way to the front. Deuteronomy and chapter number 5. Because he says, as we have received a commandment from the Lord. So chapter number 5 of Deuteronomy and verse number 29. And we'll read through to chapter number 6 and verse number 3. So verse 29, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. We started off in verse 29 by reading, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always." That, why? This is the promise, the commandment that has a promise. It's contained right here, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. Now, this is something that was given to the children of Israel, given to the nation of Israel, to God's chosen people. But this is something that applies to all people. God's precepts can apply to you no matter where you live, no matter what soil you find yourself on, no matter where you go to church, that if you fear God and you keep your eyes on the straight and narrow, and you don't look off to the left getting sidetracked and distracted, and you don't look off to the right because God knows that there's danger over there to the right, you're going to fall off a cliff and break your leg or something, and God wants you to keep your eyes on the straight and narrow path and just keep plowing forward, keep moving forward for God. This applies to all people. You just do what God has asked you to do, and God is going to bless you for that. But then there's a further promise, a further blessing after this, and that he's not only going to bless you, it's going to be well with you, and it's going to be well with your children forever. Like, there's almost no greater thing in the Bible, in the Word of God, that you do what God asks or is asking you to do, and he's going to bless you. It's going to be well with you. It's going to be well with your children. So there's a command that we saw in Second and Third John, but also in Deuteronomy. Let's go to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Psalms 103 and verse number 18. 17 and 18, sorry. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon who? Upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as, right there it is again, keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Amen? Not just hear the Word of God, not just read the Word of God once in a while, but you know what God wants you to do because it comes from the Bible, and you're going to be blessed because you're doing what God asks you to do. The mercy of the Lord, it's from everlasting to everlasting, and it's upon them that fear him. So not just his chosen people, but anyone that fears God. There's great blessings in fearing God. Sometimes people can accidentally obey God and they're blessed for it. You know what I mean? It's just principles that we find in the Bible that even lost people do, such as Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom, and people there out in the world, they can just accidentally do something that God said was right and good to do, and it's like they get blessings from it. It's because the Bible is alive, and the Bible is real, and the Bible applies to anyone from any walk of life. So to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments, to do them. Psalm 78, verse number 1 through 8. Because remember, our verse said, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment. So we're seeing some of those. We've received a commandment from the Father. And then the next chapter, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. So Psalm 78 and verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. We don't want to be like the generation who was stubborn and rebellious, and God has a plan for them. God's reaching down, telling them some what they need to do, giving them a word of encouragement and a direction to go. And later in Psalm 78, you read that they jerked their shoulders away like they were some rebellious teenager, right? And just, I don't want to do what you have to tell me. You can't tell me what to do. You're not in charge. Well, actually, he is in charge. You know, actually, mom and dad are in charge. And God knows that when mom and dad do what God tells them to do, that their children are going to be blessed for it. And that's God's plan. Do you see how this is generational here? I'm going to bless you for obeying me. Not only that, I'm going to bless your children for obeying you, and then I'm going to bless your children for obeying me. And then I'm going to bless your children's children for obeying you, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and then I'm going to bless your children's children because they're obeying me. And God just wants us to be faithful and do what's right and keep our eyes on the straight and narrow path, right? And sometimes that's hard as a human. You see some flashy car over there that you might want, right? Ooh, you know, maybe some of you have a memory of a car that you used to have and you don't have it anymore and you're like, I shouldn't have sold that thing, you know. I should have kept that thing, man. It'd be worth money or it'd look shiny in my driveway if nothing else. But these distractions of life, God doesn't want us distracted with the things of the world. He wants us to be faithful to him and just to keep moving forward and keep obeying the Bible. And I've been going to church faithfully for years and I just need a break. No, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong mindset. You need to keep being faithful because his blessings come when you're faithfully obeying him. You're doing what he's asked you to do. And then he blesses your children. He blesses your children's children. And then did you notice also in our verse in 2 John that it says, or in 3 John, I have no greater joy than to what? To hear that my children walk in truth. So it's not like I'm blessed when I just see my kids are doing, you know, sometimes my kids are doing so good, and sometimes parents have blinders on, right? Like, oh, my kids are wonderful, and everyone else in the church is like, your kids are brats, you know? But that's not what it's saying. It's not me saying my kids are so wonderful. It's that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So someone else is telling me that, man, your kids are doing a wonderful job. You know, your kids are faithfully serving the Lord, or they just love the Lord. They're always smiley. They're always happy. They're always looking for opportunities to bless other people, and that brings me great joy, right? The Bible's true. It said so right there. I have no greater joy than to hear. So in order for you to hear that, someone else sees it too. Someone else can see the faithfulness of your kids, and they tell you about it. So what a blessing there. Proverbs 22 and 28. We're going to get a couple verses in this afternoon. Proverbs 22 and verse 28. It says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. And then Proverbs 23, verse number 10. It also says, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the field of the fatherless. Remove not the old landmark. Remove not the ancient landmark. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a good, old-fashioned, fundamental church. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let the world tell you that you got to update things and you got to get into this new age stuff. And, you know, the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmarks. There's nothing wrong with that. Fundamentalism isn't a bad thing, right? Liberals in America might tell us it is, but it's not. You're just true to the fundamentals of the faith. That's all it is. It's not something scary. I'm a fundamental Baptist. Oh, no, don't say that. They're going to throw eggs at our building. Like, no, it's true. You hold to the fundamentals of the faith. You just take the Bible for what it says. You do what it says. And then you're blessed because of it. You're blessed by God. You might not be blessed by the world, but that's not our goal, right? Our goal isn't blessings from the world. Our goal is blessings from God. And when you're faithful to Him and you're holding true to what the Word of God says, and you're not changing things because culture says you can't talk about sin anymore, and you can't mention hell anymore, and you can't preach on these great truths of the Bible anymore. No, stay true to God, because that's where the blessings come from. Plus, He has no greater joy than to hear you are walking in truth. All right, well, a couple more here. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse number 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is one of my favorite verses. Yeah, we made songs about it when they were young, and honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So if you reference back to the verse we started in, 2 John, verse number 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So this verse in Ephesians, verse number 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's referencing back to the Ten Commandments, that you're to love the Lord thy God, right? To the Ten Commandments, that you're to obey your father and your mother. But then it goes on. It's the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. Obey your father and your mother. Why? That it may be well with thee. Not that, you know, you'll make mom and dad's life easier, which is a blessing. It's a blessing if my life is made easier because my kids are obedient. That's a blessing. But the promise is that it may be well with thee, that thy days may be long upon the earth. So that's the promise that comes attached to this command. But it's important. Wait, I didn't read verse number 3. Oh, yeah, I did. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. It's important, while looking at all these things, that we remember it is our job to pass our faith down to our children. It's very important that we do this. In the year, I didn't write down the year. I believe it was 1964. It was the last time that the United States won the men's 4x100-meter relay. So it was 1964. I believe it might have been 1962. Was the last time that the men won the 4x100 relay for the Olympics. And since that time, they have been disqualified a number of times. They have been stripped of medals. They have had a medal-less streak. So can you imagine? They were on top of the world, like undefeated, right? No one can beat them. And then since that time, it's like they just fell off. They're not even heard of. They're like a laughing stock nowadays. And why does that happen? And it happens because they forgot something. They forgot that the passing of the baton is the most important part of a relay race. If you're the four fastest men on the planet, but you can't pass the baton from one man to another, then your relay is doomed to failure, right? You're not going to be a winner in the race. So Silas and Lacey, do you guys want to help me out here? We're going to have a relay race, all right? So, actually, you guys come race. Why don't you demonstrate? Don't hurt yourselves. Who wants to start? You're going to start on that side of the building. Okay, go down there. And then the point of a relay race is for one runner to catch the next runner, hand off the baton, and then you go. All right, so do a little demonstration for us here. Lacey, you have to move, though. Okay, so start running. Run that way. Catch the baton. Good, yay! And now she goes off and completes the race, right? But what the U.S. team was doing is, Silas, you go down there. I'll try and hand it off to you, okay? So I'm booking and I'm going and, oh, no! And he drops the baton. And that is not the goal of a relay race, is it? It's to catch the baton. Thank you. You can go sit down. And it's continue the race, and everyone gets across the finish line. The baton crosses the finish line with the last man. And that is our life as a Christian, is we must pass the baton down to the next generation. And if you mess that up and the baton finds itself bouncing off the ground, something is not going right in your relay race of life. It is very important that passing of the baton is the most important part of the relay race. And so things that we must pass down to our children. We've heard much of it today, right? Prayer. We need to teach them how to pray. And you guys are doing a wonderful job with the prayer requests and time at the altar and a worship time in the morning. That's very important to pass that on to the next generation. What else? Bible reading, right? Bible reading, prayer, and you got to pass that on to the next generation. Some other things, giving, being faithful in our giving and being faithful in church attendance. Yes, it is important to you, but is it important to your children? And then can other people see that, hey, your children are doing well, you're doing a good job passing these things down, and they're going to be blessed by God because of that. So we must not forget that it's very important to pass that baton down. And it's because there's not a whole lot of children here, right? How many have children, though? You have children, and maybe they live nearby, maybe they live somewhere else. It's not necessarily up to... Let me say it this way. If you don't have children currently, or maybe they live somewhere else, or maybe you're saved later on, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone, okay? There is still work for you to do in passing that baton off to the next generation. As Pastor Tim comes and you guys keep being involved in witnessing and outreach and soul winning, and more people start coming, they are going to have kids that might not know what it is to pray and might not know what it is to not just read the Bible, but to really study the Bible and really have a relationship with God. They might not know these things, and no matter who you are in this room today, you can have an impact, and you can pass something down to the next generation. We talked about it a little bit this morning, that you have to talk to other people, though, right? That's my big thing. I like to talk to my kids, and I'm kind of a loner. I don't talk to a whole lot of people, but it is important for me to pass on something to my kids, but also to pass on other things to other men in the church or other families in the church, to not be afraid to see that someone else in my church is struggling and they're going through something difficult and I don't know what it is. So I can go and ask them, I can pray with them, and I can pass something on to them, pass on a word of encouragement, encourage them about a scripture or something that has helped me in my life get through a time of pain that they're now going through. You just never know what you are able to pass on to someone else. But it's very important that whether it's your children or whether it's another family in the church, it's just so important that we pass on the fundamentals of the faith, the what the Bible says, the plans that God has for helping us stay on the straight and narrow life. It's so important for our lives, and it's going to help our church. It's going to help your family, your children. Maybe you have grandchildren you say things like, well, my kids aren't raising them like I raised them. And, you can still help out. You can still pass on something to the grandkids. There's always someone that you can pass the baton of faith off to. Because we know that the world is trying to pass something down to them. The world is trying to pass more ungodliness and and this attitude of get away from God and separate God from all government buildings and schools and all the world. That's what they're trying to pass on down. So we have a job to do to resist that and to preach the truth, to tell the truth to people, and to tell the truth to people in love, to pass all that on down. Last time I had another sort of illustration. It was a rag that I took. I have this rag, and that's my faith. You know, a napkin is my faith. Okay, today. So, and if I have my faith here, my job as a Christian, as a father with children. This isn't ripping very well. There we go. As a father with children is to pass it on down to them, right? But that doesn't mean that I take the whole rag and pass it down to them, and I'm done growing. You know, I'm just done. I can't learn anymore, whatever. No, I keep my faith, and I keep growing. I keep learning. I keep studying the Bible. I keep obeying God. Maybe God's telling me to do something that I'm having trouble doing, or to stop doing something I have a bad habit of doing, and I grow, I obey what God wants me to do, because that's where the blessings come from. And then I pass that down to my children. I pass that down to someone in the church, the next generation, a visiting family, someone who needs help. And then their job is to now take it for themselves and to give a piece and pass it on to someone else. And that's our job, to keep the faith, right? As the Apostle Paul, keep the faith. I press for the mark. I keep doing those things. But I'm going to take this faith, and I'm going to give it to someone else. I'm going to pass it on to someone else. And it just keeps going. It just keeps going. I have mine. Now my kids have theirs. They pass it on to someone else. We pass it on to someone else in the church, a family or someone who needs help. And it just keeps getting passed on from one generation to the next. What a blessing to have God look at us in these terms. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father, and that I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Like God just smiles when he sees you walking in truth, when he sees you just obeying the Bible. It just brings a smile to his face, and he's happy. He's happy to have you as a child. And that, again, that's our job. From the Father to the Son's Son, to the Son's Son's Son. When I went to visit my grandparents in Montana, my kids were still little, I remember a few services where my grandparents were there in church, and my parents were in church, and my wife and I, we were in church, and my kids were in church. Like four generations just in one church service together, singing and hearing preaching and just spending that time together. And it's such a blessing. But it has to start somewhere. Amen? It has to start. It has to start with you. If it's already started with your parents, then you have a duty, an obligation to keep it going. Keep passing that on. The world isn't getting any better as we get better technology, is it? I mean, we have, what, robots now and smartphones, and we used to have the big rotary phones. Remember those? The big rotary phones and then the party line phones. If it rings once, it's for me. If it rings three times, it's for my neighbor down the road. And now, I mean, you can talk to someone on the other side of the planet. You can FaceTime. You can look at their face. And none of that is helping the world to get any better. We're still getting worse, aren't we? There's more death. There's more school shootings. There's more chaos. There's more rioting and burning down cities, and they refuse to hear the answer. Well, the answer is Jesus. Like, how hard is that? Like, shut all the news off. You know, stop with the stop funding the scientists to find some computer chip to put in the brain that's going to help people think right. No, the Bible will help you think right. And we know that. And we have an obligation to pass that on to someone else, to tear some of that faith off, keep it for ourselves and for my family, but to get another family involved, to get another family learning and growing. Maybe you can think of someone right now that you know that their life is a miserable wreck and they need the Lord. And you have the answer. You have that cloth that you can tear off faith in Jesus Christ, and you can give it to them. And what's that going to do? It's going to bless you because you're obeying the Bible. You're obeying the Great Commission. It's going to bless them because they might come to know Christ as their Savior. They may get saved. It could change their whole family, change mom, dad, the kids. It would change the course of that family's life forever. And God just says, I've given you the faith. Pass it on. Rip a piece of that off. Pass it on to someone else. Hand the baton off to someone else. That is what is going to help America and save America. That's what's going to help our world, is more of the gospel getting spread around and passed on to other people. And it's our job to do that. It brings a blessing to you and to me and to everyone involved. God will bless your efforts, and it's exactly what he wants us to be doing. Spread the gospel. Preach the word. Amen? Preach the word. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's what God wants us to be doing. So I hope that this was an encouragement to everyone that's here this afternoon. We're going to go ahead and pray. Father, I am so thankful, Lord, that you allow me to speak your word, Lord. And God, I am nothing special, God, but you are special, and you are great. And God, you have all knowledge and all power. And God, we just ask that you'd use all of us, use this church, Lord, to spread the gospel around Lewis County, around Centralia, Chehalis. God, there's people that are in the depths of despair, and they don't know what to do. And God, we have the answer, and they need to hear it. So God, I pray that you would, please, Lord, just use this church in a mighty way. God, let them be found faithful when you return. And God, it's just such a blessing to be together with them. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I would just like to give an opportunity for anyone that might need to come and pray at the altar. We just want to take this time to kneel down before the Lord and ask him to use you to spread the gospel. Maybe there's no greater joy in your life than to see your kids. Maybe that describes you. Maybe there's someone in the church family that's struggling, and you might take this time to pray for them, or even grab them and bring them up front and pray together. So as the instruments play, we'll take a couple minutes to close the service here with an altar call.